I mean, this whole road closure issue has been an emotional issue, certainly in my district, and I'm sure in some other people's districts. There have been a number of road closures proposed, basically for the purpose of meeting the habitat goals of the Bureau of Land Management, for example, for elk habitat, by closing roads. And as they cut more and more timber, they may need to make some other adjustments in their management plan to ensure that there's habitat. So they have been involved in road closures, and this would be a way to help, and I guess, you know, basically this would be a way to help enforce those road closures.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, Raleigh Russo, Department of Fish and Wildlife, that's correct, Chairman. There are actually two types of road closures that we're involved with, one of which is the most popular and most visible is those that are closed for during the hunting season in the fall, that have only main roads open in the woods, and then allows the hunters to be on foot rather than having vehicles travel all over, and allows a more quality operation. Those are very, very strongly supported by the hunting fraternity. But they do take quite a bit of enforcement, and this is one of the enforcement problems, loopholes that you would be correcting with this bill. The other one is the kinds of agreements we enter into with basically the land management agencies, principally Forest Service and BLM, where we put permanent road closures into effect. We have road closure plans that is for the protection of wildlife and wildlife habitat. And that's the other kind. Those are 12 months. Those never change. Those are gated roads, and people generally have to violate the gate to enter those.
Senator Kentine.
Yes. Does this apply only to areas closed for game purposes, or would it also apply to areas that the land managing company or agency would desire to be closed for some other purpose?
Senator Kentine, as I understand it, it's only those road closures that the Department of Fish and Wildlife enters into under its authority with the land management agency.
Fire closures or other types of closures would not.
No. This is actually a wildlife statute that we're amending here.
Okay. So these would be fish and wild. I mean, these would be wildlife closures that would be affected by this enforcement.
That's correct.
Did everybody? You both got to testify. Is anybody?
We certainly do. We also support the passage of the bill.
Yeah, I assume you do. Are there any further questions? Is there anyone else who's here who would like to testify on House Bill 2734? Close the hearing, open the work session on House Bill 2734. Senator Cairns moves House Bill 2734 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Clerk, would you call the roll?
Senator Cairns.
Aye.
Senator Kintyre.
Aye.
Senator Monroe.
Aye.
Senator Brennan.
Aye.
Senator Hamby.
Aye.
Aye. Motion is adopted. Senator Kentine, would you carry that bill? The agenda listed a work session on 3097, but we need to have a public hearing before we get to a work session. So let me open the public hearing on House Bill 3097. And Representative Agrons is here. Why don't you come on up?
Chairman, I didn't ask to be heard. I just wanted to.
Well, you just wanted to watch.
I just wanted to hang around and.
Okay.
If my child came under attack, I wanted to be here to defend it. So I appreciate that opportunity.
Good.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I have prepared a fairly lengthy set of questions, which.
I'm available. I'm available, Mr. Speaker. I don't want to take up your time, but if I could be useful, I'm here.
Okay. Why don't we just start at the top of the list and move down? Well, actually, why don't we, Keith Petrie and Michael Clark, why don't you come up first? You were here once before, and Jenna was here once before, too. We'll get to you next. Keith, why don't you lead off? Identify yourself for the record and proceed.
My name is Keith Petrie, and I'm the chairman of the Oregon Ski Areas Association. You have my prepared testimony in front of you. we think the original intent and idea of the bill to get in more destination resorts in Oregon is good. However, we feel that there are some very limiting aspects of the bill which I think will hinder the development of at least large destination resorts. Small resorts, yes, the bill does help, and I think we'll improve the climate there, but even then, I think there are some questions. The most serious one to us is this 3-mile buffer zone, which would require around the resort, and this would encompass an area of some 26,880 acres, and that's a lot of ground, and to be up against. A 1-mile buffer zone would be 3,840 acres, and whilst much smaller, it will still serve as an impediment. I believe that I would like to see the entire buffer zone eliminated and it be left to good land planning, taking advantage of topography and road systems to provide a reasonable buffer. Thing is, if you get, it's just a lot of ground in there, 6 miles by 6 miles. And when you visualize that or walk it on the ground, it gets further. Another problem I have is the word capable of producing $1,000 of value per acre. The word capable, I think, is ambiguous. If you've got water to most lands in Oregon and enough fertilizer, the land will be capable of producing that dollars worth. We would strongly recommend a value of no less than $3,000 per acre in that area. Another question I have is the word concentration, which is in the also in the definition of high value land. I think concentration should be identified with some number of commercial ownerships. Like in the neighborhood of 5 to 10. Other things that are still uncertain at this time is the definition of secondary lands. It's still out in the open. We don't know what we're dealing with. Another problem I have is that the bill, as I read it, identifies a large resort as 150 units, identifies a small resort as 75 units, and so I'm wondering what happens to resorts from 776 up to 149. It seems to me that there isn't room provision for those. Another problem is Site 1 and Site 2 forest lands. I think this would take up a lot of the west, particularly the west side of the Coast Range, is pretty much eliminated because that's all good or high site lands in there. And whereas you look at the small number of acres that a resort gets, another figure I worked out is that in from one resort in Western Oregon here, the resort produces a gross income of $16,000. It pays $1,000 per acre in tax and produces 0.8 jobs per acre. And this, to me, is high productivity. And as I use those numbers when I refer to the need to have that higher value on the cropland raised above the $1,000, what I really think should be done is that the governor direct the LCDC, the Economic Development Department, to sit down, knock heads, and come up and rewrite Goal 8 so that it accomplishes the goal of building destination resorts, increasing our tourism opportunity. If we're going to have 4 or 5 world-class resorts, as the governor has mentioned from time to time, we've got to make that possible through land use laws. If we write this into the 3-mile limit into a bill at the present time, it's going to be in there, and it's going to be much tougher to change when it proves inadequate to do the job. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Questions for Mr. Petrie?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cairns.
One of the problems with the question of capable is that we're moving more and more land at the urgings of the federal government out of production and into the conservatorship or whatever, I forget the...
Reserve.
Reserve, thank you, the reserve. if you go to a standard of currently producing, you're going to talk about one-third of the, you know, the wheat land and lots of other agricultural lands that are going to be in the reserve and are not producing anything, may well be capable and probably were capable of producing crop values in excess of either of the thresholds that have been discussed. Well, how do we respond to that?
This is where I think those problems would be better addressed by LCDC and EDC and the farm community sit down and, as I say, work out those problems. I couldn't come up with an answer to you for that because it's a realistic problem. That's why I think locking this in is the wrong approach at this time.
Senator Kern?
No, that's fine. I'll just chew on that for a
while.
Okay. One comment would be that Goal 8, the destination resort goal, was developed after probably the most extensive set of public hearings that the commission had ever held. And this was language that was developed by a lot of people knocking their heads all over the state. And it's been on the books for as a goal for, I'm going to say, 4 years. And so now it's being proposed to be put into law. So that, and I think the reason for that is so that we can make some specific changes to it to try to make room for some of the smaller resorts and change the mileage, the air mileage figures and things like that. I think that's why we're trying to put it into law. So, I mean, because we don't have, as much as I've tried to give the legislature the ability to amend administrative rules, that's not an authority we have. So
may I respond?
A goal is a goal, and we can't touch it. We can pass a law saying you'll change the goal X, Y, or Z.
Mm-hmm. May I respond to that?
Certainly, Mr. Well,
Mayor. We really haven't seen any real large destination resorts built in the state during that time that goal has been in effect. I believe the 3-mile limit is sort of a basic policy or rule of thumb that LCDC is working under at the present time, which is going to take the rule that is keeping the resort, possibly keeping resorts from developing, will be then become law. That's one of the problems we're facing now. I will say this, that in the ad hoc committee that was formed, to my knowledge, there was not any input from anybody from the tourism industry, from the real estate industry, from the developers, from construction people. It was primarily with LCDC and 1,000 Friends of Oregon that compromises were reached, and industry did not play a part in them at all.
Well, I don't want to relive the record for you, but I think people like John Gray, who developed some of the largest destination resorts in the state, were very active in the destination resort goal development.
Excuse me, I meant the ad hoc committee on this bill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. No,
middle.
Correct, sir. No.
That's over in the House, Mr. Chairman. Is that right?
I guess.
You're speaking about the House.
Yes.
Okay. Any further questions for Mr. Petrie? Thank you very much.
Thank
Michael
you, sir.
Clark.
Yes, thank you. I'm the president of the Mount Hood Recreation Association, and in front of you have a letter from one of our members, Clay Simon, of Mount Hood Meadows Ski Resort. I agree with Mr. Petrie's observations, and while we fully understand the Goal 8 provisions, we have two resort properties within our association that would be excluded from development of their resort properties under the bill as it's presently written. The 26,880 acres is a 700% increase over the buffer zone of 1 mile, which is more than one township in area. Establishing appropriate buffer zones and mitigating measures and leaving it under local control would really be much more effective for the advancement of these sorts of resorts. Part of the thing that concerns me most, of course, is the state's turnaround and the comeback issue that comes into effect. And while I think that there is definitely room for controlled growth within the state boundaries, this bill as written is going to put a tremendous roadblock in the front of some of those developments that are presently under examination. I think that the last paragraph of the second page says it adequately about Senate Bill 54, which did not contain some of the problems now identified in the current House bill. There's going to be a legislative revision pertaining to destinations resorts that is to be meaningful, at minimum, the above two issues must be readdressed. While we certainly agree with the intent, the way that it is written puts some serious roadblocks into responsible development within the state's boundaries.
Senator Kearns.
You said that had this standard in 3097 been in effect, there were two extant or two existing resorts which would not have passed muster?
No, there are two under development right now, under phases of our members that would be excluded automatically.
These are contemplated or actually being
contemplated? Yes. There are land tracts that have been secured and are owned, but it would be restricted from development under this bill.
And one of them, I believe, is Mount Hood Meadows at the head of the Hood River Valley, at the head of the orchard, of the apple orchard.
Correct.
Is that the one?
That's one, yes.
Which is I'm not from Hood River, but I certainly know the representative who is, and he considers it to be, and as I understand it, the people in the county consider it to be a very controversial proposal.
And that's why we feel it should be their decision.
Mm-hmm. Then what's the other one?
The other one is down farther in Hood River area in the windsurfing areas that are starting to come into being.
Down along the waterfront there.
Yes, uh-huh.
Mr. Chairman, what's the name of that? That's on the northeast or northerly side of the mountain there. What's the name of that development, actually?
Northeast?
It has no name.
The Mounted Meadows Project, no. It's called the Village Development at this time to tie into the mountain resources. So it has not been given a formal name. The other one is a multi-resort development for the windsurfing traffic that's coming into play, and the demand is not being able to be met presently.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's contemplated, what, down near the river someplace?
Yes.
I guess the other comment I would have is I would remind both the witnesses and the committee that under current law, a destination resort can be cited if necessary through an exceptions process, and that the purpose of the destination resort's goal was to provide fast-track siting for resorts that did not present significant conflicts to other resource land. That was the purpose. That is the purpose of this fast site. This is a fast siting system. And I think it's certainly not my intent to say that any destination resort that's proposed should be sited quickly. There are oft times some fairly significant conflicts with other resource uses that need to be resolved before it's sited. And that my understanding of the intent of this goal and now this law is to see that if we can define something that's not in significant conflict with other resource uses, they should be fast-tracked. Otherwise, they should go through the normal land use process. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that the fact that something isn't specifically mentioned as included on this fast-track system does not in any way preclude those who are interested in developing that from proceeding. It puts them through what would be a slightly more time-consuming process.
Well, it's a tremendously more time-consuming process to go through the exceptions concerning the buffer area, which would be a significant hurdle. And even if the county would agree, let's take the example of the village development down there. Even if that was agreed to under the bill as it's presently written, it would not be allowed to be constructed. And that's where the problem is. We feel it should be in the hands of the county and the local municipality to decide, is this the appropriate use of the land, and is it truly capable land, or is it put to better use as a resort?
Further questions? Thank you both very much. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you, sir.
General Hefke.
Mr. Chairman and members, Jan Wehefke, Oregon Association of Realtors. My testimony is being distributed to you right now. I'm not going to read it. I have a few editorial comments that I'd like to make in the interest of brevity. I'm not going to go into the written prepared testimony. I am not going to sit before you today and pretend to be an expert on citing destination resorts. I have not cited any destination resorts, nor have I been involved in the citing of destination resorts. What I have done to get background information on this bill is that I have gone through the testimony and my list of contacts that I gleaned from my association with the Joint Interim Committee on Land Use at the time that we reviewed Senate Bill 54. I contacted a number of people who were involved at that time and provided testimony on that bill. Some of those individuals were members of our association, some were not. Some have been represented here today, some have not. I forwarded copies of the bill to them and wrote a letter asking that they respond to the bill since they had the experience that I lacked, and I asked that they respond to me and let me know how realistic this criteria, proposed criteria, would be under for citing destination resorts. The responses that I received back were quite negative. I've attached some to the back of my prepared testimony. I'll get to that in a moment. What I think is sadder was I received a number of telephone calls instead of written responses. And most of those calls ran along the same vein. They said, we have spent enough time and enough money trying to get destination resorts sited in Oregon. One person I spoke with, his letter is attached. He is part of a limited partnership and he is located in San Diego. He said to me, we have tried to go through your exceptions process in the state of Oregon. We are just now paying off our loan for the debt that we incurred in trying to get through the exceptions process. He had over 900 pages at that time that he had accumulated for trying to get through the exceptions process. And his response to me was, I have given up on Oregon. Our limited partnership has no desire in investing or developing in your state, and we are investing in the state of Arizona. That type of response far outweighed the number of the letters that I received in response. The sponsors of this bill have conceded that this is not the answer statewide. It is the position of our association that it would be better if this bill failed and if people who were actually in the trenches, who were involved in the siting of resorts, were involved in drafting up some realistic criteria that would serve the purpose of getting some destination resorts sited in Oregon. Wanted to say that if the committee does have a particular burden for this piece of legislation, I would ask that you recall the comments of Senator Otto that he made, I believe, Monday regarding the buffer zone. He was on board the Joint Legislative Committee on Land Use at the time we discussed Senate Bill 54. The committee came to the overwhelming conclusion that the one-mile buffer was far more desirable than what we see before us today in this bill. Mr. Petrie covered most of the concerns with the bill that I received back, both in written responses and in telephone responses, so I guess I get my salary today for doing a little less work because he's already covered most of the points that I would have made that were problems with the bill. I wanted to read you one statement in closing. Regarding the siting of destination resorts by members of the private sector, we all have heard the results of the studies that indicate that Oregon is far behind other states in its expenditures for encouraging tourism. And this type of development by the private sector would not cause the state to have to put out any expenditure. This would be primarily the private sector putting out their own money to attract the state's third largest industry. What we need from the state is not the funds, but some realistic siting criteria. And again, as I mentioned earlier, I do have some of the letters that I received back. I will comment that they are quite candid. They're attached to the back of my prepared statement, and I would ask that you please take the time to review those because these are from people who have been involved in the process. I would also like to add that Mr. Petrie, who has been in touch with the governor's office has indicated that they would be willing to work with developers and the legislators who are interested in getting some realistic criteria cited. And with that, I will close, unless there are questions.
Questions?
I have a question.
Senator Cohen.
Could you give me the vacancy rate of the existing? We had testimony in the trade committee from Sal Shan and from the operators in some of the existing resorts, and they shared with us their vacancy rates, and I'm interested in whether you would like, I'd ask you to share it. I don't need it right now, but I would like those figures from you, if you could gather them up. And
I would be happy to contact the people that I have been in touch with who are in the business of destination resort siting and operating. And
not siting, operating.
And operation, yes. There were a number of people who did respond who were already in the business.
I'd be interested in their vacancy rates.
Okay, I don't know if Mr. Petrie would have that at this time or not. Are you aware? Senator Cohen is interested in vacancy rates for current destination resorts. I will be happy to contact some of the people that I spoke with who are already in the business of operating and get back to you on that.
Thank you.
Okay. Were there others?
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Let me call Senator Yee and Representative Agrons. Why don't you both come on out?
I apologize, Senator Yee, for not calling you
quite as quickly as I should have.
You came in so quietly.
But I was staring at you.
Oh, I didn't get it. Well, that got your attention.
No, it was her note that got my attention.
Oh. Is that what started? Hey, Bozo?
Yeah, right.
Sure, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm State Senator May Lee from Senate District 19. I'm here to support House Bill 3097. I have introduced Senate Bill 638. Well, I've asked your committee to introduce Senate Bill 638 at my request and Sweet Home Chamber of Commerce request. And this is virtually the same. And I'm here to support the two provisions in Senate Bill 638, which are in, well, one of them is in House Bill 3097. And the one in 3097 now is the provision that asks for $1 million minimum investment, which will help areas like Sweet Home, who only want to build small destination resort. But the other provision is not in House Bill 3097, and I'm here to ask for your consideration to make under Section 6, Line 12, 25 air miles change to 25 road miles from the nearest urban area with a certain population. I believe it's Eugene with 50,000 population, so that it's possible for Foster Lake to build this destination resort. Otherwise, they would be included in that radius. Mm-hmm. And as you know, Sweet Home has beautiful Foster Lake Reservoir. It's close to Green Peter Dam. It's a beautiful area. And they would like to promote tourism by being able to build destination resort and other tourism projects. And I would appreciate committee's consideration. And at this time, I also want to concur the concern that was expressed by previous witnesses that the 3 mile buffer zone is too large, and I would like to see a compromise of 1 mile buffer zone to allow development to happen easier. That's the end of my testimony.
So let me just... What your concern is Foster Reservoir,
mm-hmm.
which is basically just east of Sweet Home.
Right there.
It's right there next
yes.
to it.
Yes.
I mean, but it's right just
at the border.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's what you're worried about, making sure that that area could qualify for some fast tracking.
That's right.
Okay.
Just so that they're not included in that 30-mile road air miles.
Okay, I think we understand.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
A lot of Sweet Home people would like to come and testify today, but I gave them a rather short notice yesterday afternoon.
Yes, I gave you rather short notice yesterday. Okay, no, I know you have quite a contingent there.
That I'm in full support of this.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Nivon, do you want to just say something real quickly?
I may, Mr. Chairman. Russ Nebon, Chief Planner, Marion County, one of the workers on the original bill with Representative Abrams. Originally, in Goal 8, it said 30 air miles for major destination resorts. And unless I'm wrong, Senator Yee's bill converted that to 30 road miles.
That's right.
When we succeeded in negotiating a reduction down to 25 air miles, I called Marv Groves, the Linn County Planning Director, and said, I understand that Foster Reservoir is your concern. And I said, can you check your maps and tell me whether or not 25 air miles isn't as good or better a change than 30 road miles? And he said, unless you hear from me otherwise, you can assume that 25 air miles pulls the boundary back far enough to achieve the objective. And I just wanted to make it clear to the committee that we had proceeded on the assumption that the senator's concerns had been addressed by the amendment down to 25 air miles.
Okay.
And the reason we stayed with air miles is it's much easier to map air miles than it is to trace every road that goes out into the woods.
It's a lot easier.
25 miles. And so we thought that problem had been addressed.
All right. We have maps. We will get the maps in a minute when we ask Mr. Courtwright and Mr. Howe to come up. So, but first, let's get to Representative Agron.
And there go back to the exceptions process. Above 150 above, we know exactly where they're at.
Okay,
and we're creating something for 25 to 75.
That's correct.
And the below 25 and below, they are in the netherworld. They make either the exceptions nor the resort.
They could go through the exceptions process as well. Anything is eligible for the exceptions process.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Senator Cohen.
Okay, if I wanted to do my ranch then and set up a little dude ranch and kind of get it fast track because I'm going to set up a new game ranch with the acreage I put into fallow.
Mm-hmm.
I could fast track if I came to you and said, look, I'm gonna convert my barn to a bunkhouse and bring people in. That's the kind of, we could do that, right?
Yes.
25 of them.
If I had 25, I couldn't do it if I were going to keep 10 people around. They'd just be regular visitors at my house.
That's right.
Well, you might be eligible under the EFU statute anyway.
Really? I could do that?
I'd have to have a comment.
It's possible. I think we've had a couple of questions about that. It would be possible as a home occupation if there were no new structures associated with it. It's just using existing dwellings.
Now you know how to do that, don't you? First you raise the roof two stories, and then you close that in, then you take the south wall out 20, 45 feet. When that's closed in, you take the north.
Okay. Any further questions for the witnesses?
Mr. Chairman, I think that conversation underscores the difficulty of the issue and further points out, I think, the good work that the Representative Agrons has done in trying to pull this together. It does do what we had a great deal of difficulty in trying to come to grips with when we amended Goal 8. We think that the suggestions we've made improve it, but we support the bill.
Okay. Thank you both very much. Let me call on Hector McPherson and Roy Burns. We got to have Roy Burns testify today. It's just, it would be outrageous if we didn't.
Right. Is he from
Linn County? He's from
Linn
County, yeah.
He's on the list.
Oh, he's been here a lot of times.
On the list. Roy Burns, Planning Director, Lane County. Also, I'm representing the County Planning Directors. We do support the legislation. I'd ask Hector if I could come in after him, because Hector and I had discussed in the hallway what he had proposed to do with the legislation to add some bells and whistles. And I'm here to urge the committee to, even though it's not a perfect vehicle, to consider the work that has been done on the legislation, and to adopt, if possible, the legislation and carry it forward without adding a lot of issues to it that might otherwise prevent at least some destination resorts that meet this criteria from being established. I did not sign up Mr. Nebon. He was in another meeting, but he is here.
mm-hmm. and would be able to respond to questions that the committee may have. And I do appreciate the additional provision in this legislation that directs the LCDC to address secondary resource lands. The county planning directors and Russ and myself personally have been actively involved with attempting to define that category of land, as has Hector. I believe we're very close and believe that time frame that has been established in Section 11 is a reasonable time frame, presuming that the governor does make the appointment to the commission and we can move forward. And that's all I have. And I would have had to have been here as long as Hector was here anyways.
But you think that the July 31st, 1988 deadline is reasonable, even
yes.
though they've had a task force for 2 years already?
Yes, I do. The task force has been working very extensively. We believe that as a result of some of the excellent work in terms of Oregon State University and some others, that we're finally able to break through the and correct the error that was originally made in heavy reliance upon the soil conservation classification for soils that was a straw that was grasped in 74 that has proven to be a difficulty for us. That was a major breakthrough. We are also at the present time avoiding the mistake that was made in the marginal lands legislation, that is testing very carefully the concepts that evolved from committee, and that is one of the reasons it's taken so long. But we are very close, and we feel that goal amendments, administrative rules, can be promulgated to implement that.
Excellent.
Yes, I'm Hector MacPherson, and I'm spokesman for Agriculture for Oregon, and I simply wanted to come before the committee and take not very much time, I hope, to point out that I'm here with in a little different capacity. Usually I'm opposing some of the people that are on the top of this bill, but I'm very happy to join a strong supporter of House Bill 3097 with such strong defenders of the environment as Bill Markham and Representative Anderson. So we do sometimes get together, and I think this is maybe a session of compromise, and this maybe is one of the ones that we can all endorse. One thing that hasn't been pointed out and why I'm a strong supporter is because of my work on the Rural Lands Task Force in trying to bring along the secondary lands concept. And the fallacy that I see coming, if we don't do something like what is in this bill and allow the smaller destination resorts to go in that area, is that we have a number of areas of the state that are not going to benefit greatly by secondary lands, except as they are able to benefit from the what's going into the destination resort area. So I'm a strong supporter because this, as it's been proposed, and I think as it will come out, it is a voluntary program. And if we don't offer something for the counties to benefit, that they consider is in their interest, they're not going to adopt it. And the thing that's to come along with that legislation is a stronger control over what happens in the primary resource lands. And that is what, of course, I'm basically interested in, is a stepped-up enforcement in the primary lands. By getting secondary resource lands, I think we will get that. That's why I'm a strong supporter of what we're doing here. I would have to point out, since it's become a matter of controversy, that our organization, because we have a number of Hood River orchardists, would oppose the reduction from 3 miles to 1 mile on the buffer zone. That our organization has been very, very adamant on that point, and I think that is part of the controversy. Now, the point that Roy Burns and I have discussed, and that he is here to oppose and I'm here to suggest, is that I think it's time that we included within this bill the reporting requirements, as I understand, are about to sunset on the counties reporting back on how they're coming with what's happening in their exclusive farm use zones. And the reason that this is a good vehicle is because this bill, because they puts the pressure on adopting secondary resource lands and possibly stepping up the enforcement in primary resource lands, we need to have additional information from the counties in this particular area. And I think this is the one way we're going to get it. Now, the counties have resisted giving this kind of reporting, but I think it's in the interest of the legislature and the interest of everyone who's interested in good land use to keep this. We have a benchmark now as to what's happened, and it's not good with the exclusive farm use zone that we have out there. but we need to do to carry this forward and see what's going to happen as we add secondary resource lands to that. That's it. Thank you.
Hector, one note. Actually, looking at relating clauses, 3097 has a relating clause relating to destination resorts. 2758, which is another bill that came over first on destination resorts, actually has a relating clause relating to land use. So
they cannot be put in.
We've scheduled that bill for Friday for the purpose of potentially amending it with the reporting. I mean, that's...
Thank you.
And that's where that would go if the committee accepts it.
I just can't believe.
I
can't believe we're still fussing with the reporting laws after all these years. Every session we have to fuss with wanting us to report.
It's an interesting and difficult issue.
Any questions?
Well, did either of you have any reactions to, I'm sort of collecting reactions to LCDC's proposed amendments to the Destination Resort Bill? Did either of you have a chance to listen to it carefully? I know Russ has got his hand up, but I want to...
I would ask that Russ respond to that.
Okay, great.
I have no specific comment.
Okay, is Scott Ashcombe here?
He was.
Okay, Russ, why don't you come up?
Chairman, members of the committee, Russ Niebaum again. As I recall, the LCD made several suggestions, and I'd like to just go through them. One of them was with regard to the counties making findings with regard to the criteria for the small resorts when they approve one. One of the purposes of this bill and another bill is to go into the EFU zones and establish destination resorts as a conditional use. It's my considered opinion that most counties that allow these destination resorts do treat them as conditional uses in the zones where they are allowed. And in approving a conditional use, you have to make findings that show that the criteria are satisfied, and these criteria are going to be in the law. So my feeling is that there's already adequate provision either in the state law or in the local ordinances that the counties are going to have to address the criteria.
Given that you're probably going to do that, is there any problem saying that it will be, you will review it?
No, I think there's a presumption that we will be.
There's already
judging the
presumed
proposal
you're going to be doing that,
criteria.
So it's really not a big deal to say you will.
No.
Okay.
With regard to screening from highways, that was discussed on the House side and was rejected. Screening is something that we as planners deal with all the time, and you can certainly plant some pine trees or Doug fir or whatever is appropriate vegetation in the area along the road to try and screen the development from the road. I don't know that you're going to be successful in totally screening it from the highway, but if that's something that you want the local jurisdiction to consider, it might well be something that local jurisdictions would put in their own locally developed criteria anyway. With regard to off-premise signs, in these rural resource zones, a lot of them are EFU zones, off-premise signs are not listed in the EFU zone as permitted, so they could put some signs on the development itself, but in terms of going a half mile or a mile down the road, they might have difficulty getting permission for off-premise signs in a forest or a farm zone. So I don't know how realistic that concern is. That was another issue that was discussed on the House side, and it wasn't considered significant enough to put it in the bill. If you feel it is significant and want to put it in, I don't know that it's a major problem.
Senator Cairns.
Well, Mr. Chairman, aren't those the logo signs under 377? Those are logo signs, aren't they? Logo.
Tourist oriented.
The ones in the state highway. Logo program, isn't it?
That's correct.
All right.
Yeah.
So what we would do with that amendment, Mr. Chairman, as I understand it, would be to add a permission for the establishment of logos in those zones for that purpose. Do I not read the department's amendment to say that?
Bob.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Cairns, I believe that the logo signs are not subject to county regulation as off-premise signs, that they are considered locational signs, not subject to city or county land use requirements.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, the suggestion that you not allow individually owned units, an interesting point in the Goal 8 provisions for destination resorts, there's an interesting provision that says you can have up to two out of every three units an owned unit. And the reason that was put in was to allow for the investment towards the development, the people buying into the process. And in talking with Representative Abrons, I think it's our feeling that if you preclude individually owned units, you're going to eliminate a source of capital for the developer that could help him put the whole package together. And the restrictions, I think, in the bill are adequate to ensure that those units are going to be available for a long period of time for just visitors. And other folks that want to buy a unit are only going to have access to it for 7 weeks out of the year, as okay. It's written now.
Senator Cohen.
So tell me what, refresh me, the bill said, why is it not possible for me to kind of gather, just build a nice big condominium and get it fast-tracked because it's a resort?
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Cohen, you're talking about a development that's got to meet $1 million standard. At least one-third of that has to be in improved recreation facilities. You have to provide restaurant facilities, meeting room facilities, and other things. And I realize that in some contexts that may come very close to the concept of a condominium development. We also have the standard in here that talks about the ski lift and the fishing stream and the other recreational type facilities that have to be the rationale for that development to be there. So it's our feeling that there are sufficient criteria in here to distinguish that from just a straight condominium type development.
Okay. Did you have any thoughts on the issue on page 2 of their amendment that has to do with the Goal 5 resources?
Mr. Chairman, we've run in on this bill a couple of times to drafting problems of that sort, and it was certainly our intent to try and be consistent with the wording in the Goal 8 provisions. But as Bob Courtright pointed out, sometimes when you're drafting it, you can't be that specific. And if he has found a way to be more specific and limit the scope of that, we would certainly concur in that. It wasn't our intent to make that prohibition any greater than what it was in Goal 8.
Okay.
And I have no problem with inserting the new definition for the gorge out of the federal legislation or whatever in lieu of the one that's in here.
Right. We did. That's an amendment we do need
right.
to do. Because the definition that's in there is being repealed.
Right. So the housekeeping measures that conform the wording in here that it should be the same as Goal 8 or federal legislation, we have no problem with.
Senator Cohen.
So the big issue, I take it, you have questions whether you need to protect from highways and the signing issue you think can be taken care of, but yeah, those are sort of minor issues we could fuss around with or whatever. But the ownership one is one that you...
That's the most important.
That's the more substantive recommended change that your committee would find.
Yes.
Can you help me out? Where is the ownership issue in the LCDC's proposed amendments?
It's in the definition of visitor accommodations, I think.
Overnight lodging.
Yeah. Top of page 2.
Where is he looking?
Oh, yeah, right here.
Right.
If you do an overnight lodging, then that's defined in the bill.
Oh, okay. Individual units may be considered overnight lodgings if they are available for overnight rental use by the general public for at least 45 weeks per calendar year through a central reservation or check-in service.
Right.
Okay.
So that provides for the shared use.
So what's the problem? I don't understand what the problem is.
Well, the DLCD staff suggested that the developer be the only one who could own the visitor accommodations, that they could not be owned by individuals
buying into the resort.
Where did they propose that?
It says not allow individually owned units. That's the note I wrote down from Bob Courtwright's testimony. And I took from that that he didn't want individuals buying individual units within the resort. He wanted all of the units to be owned by the resort developer.
So you'd have to delete that portion of the definition.
So it would be like a motel in the sense that the motel owner would own all the units.
I'm looking at your amendments, and I'm just not finding it. Maybe you can direct me to it, Bob.
I think that's accurate, Mr. Chairman. The bold face at the bottom of page 2 would limit individually owned units only to the larger category of destination resorts.
Okay. All right. Now I know where to look. Thank you. That helped. All right. So you would have some problems with that provision?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Is there anyone else who feels a burning desire to testify on House Bill 3097? If not, we will close the hearing and we stand adjourned. We'll probably put this back on the agenda for Friday.